The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, welcome to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. I am very excited about today. Got a lot of great stuff to go over. We'll have Hot Rod on in a few minutes. Of course, the Fed met and the interest rates are now to the highest level they've been in 22 years. Powell says, too soon to tell if the latest rise is the last one needed to battle inflation. And it's interesting because the market just seems to shrug it off. The Dow had 13 straight up days here on this Thursday. I hadn't even checked the where we are, but yeah, it could be 14. I don't know. Anyway, we'll be talking about that. And then also later on, risk management doesn't always mean lower returns. So if people think about risk management, like, what does that mean? Getting safer? Well, yeah. But does that mean you're going to make less money? The answer is no. Here we are with the S&P up like 20% this year, something like that. And we're still not back to even from where we were at the end of 2021. So we'll go through the math recovery, the recovery of math. And then also, who best manages risk? Who should you lay risk off to? What are some tools available in our world that you may not even know about that can give you your cake and you can eat it too, and you're a happy, happy camper? All right, before we get to all that, you know, I've been teasing everyone for some time about some big news coming, a new hire that we had coming on Comprehensive Financial, and I just kept holding back. But today is the big reveal because he's here with me today. Would you like to hear his voice? If it may not even say who it is.
You know, it's been a few minutes since you and I have done this together, David. So it's, but it, you know, 30 seconds in and just kind of all sets right back into motion, kind of.
Jim Inman Jr. Back
nice to
at
see
it.
You. Yes. And coming back home.
Let's do a little history lesson here for people.
Okay.
You and my sister, Jana, best friends, going through high school together.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You go to college, and you study marketing.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You, I was at the old house on South Rogers Street.
Correct.
I don't know what year this was.
April 2001.
Okay. So just before...
Just before 9/11, we hadn't moved into the new office, still had a couple of years and whatnot, but yeah.
Yeah. So, and you were kind of an intern for a while.
Correct. I hadn't graduated
and
from
IU. And then once
IU
you
yet.
Graduated, you came on full-time as our marketing and event coordinator. So you mm-hmm. basically, all these workshops that we do around the city and town, you would handle those. You would handle the client events. You would handle the pumpkin patches and golf outings and
it.
Whatever
yeah.
else. You played Santa Claus at the office. Whatever was needed, Jim hated it when I used to call him the client concierge. I don't
no,
know.
No, it wasn't bad. It wasn't
I
bad.
I thought it was fantastic. I made it up, and it sounded really good to me. So you were with us for a good amount of time, and really, you know, I mean, you're like family to me, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted you to have growth, mm-hmm. Both personally and professionally. And I love that about our office. A lot of young people have come, grown, mm-hmm. and then they have new opportunities, or I've helped them with new opportunities. And then I look back, I think of Chris Martin, who uh-huh. started with us and in our investment team. And, you know, it was time for him to grow, and he couldn't do any more than he was doing in our office. And now he handles alternative investments for the state of Indiana's pension fund.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, good for
you know,
him.
Good for, yeah. So, but that just makes me proud. So you were with us, and I get a phone call from Rick Lofgren, who's the CEO of CODA, Children's Organ Transplant Association. We've been a longtime supporter of CODA and also been their investment manager since 98, I think, which is hard to believe. And he said, would you be – it's kind of like when you want to interview someone else's coach. You call mm-hmm. him and say, hey, we'd like to interview your offensive coordinator. Well, that's what he did. He said, would you be okay if I interviewed Jim for our marketing position? And I'm like – yeah, I think it'd be great. Number one, you're going to make twice the money, so I don't have to buy your beers anymore. Two, it gave you a chance to work for a national organization. Mm-hmm. So you did that, and you were there for a handful of years and made your mark on that organization. And then from there, you went to the chamber, I believe.
I had a brief stint with the American Heart Association.
Oh, that's right.
I was there for a year. Yep.
And then onto the chamber.
And then onto the chamber.
And you were at the chamber a good while.
About 4 years or so.
Okay.
Yeah, about 2015 to 2019.
And then from the chamber, you wanted to get kind of back in sort of the business world or whatever, and you took a job at German American Bank, great bank here here in town, of course. Jasper, Indiana is where they're from, home of Scott Rowland and the new Hall of Famer.
You got it.
So you went there to hopefully do some business development, private banking, stuff like that. And then when you saw that we were looking for a new person, because that position at our office, which is, I mean, it's a catch-all of a lot of things. You've got to work on, take care of our website. We have client events. We have workshops that we do, you know, making connection calls, you know, checking in on people, which is stuff you're just fantastic at. You came walking through the office one day, saw we had an Indeed post, and it was like, hey, I saw, I mean, I forget how it all went down. Angela told me.
It was just basically a, you know, maybe it's time literally to come back home kind of conversation. I've been with the bank 4 years, and it's all been a wonderful experience. And all this tenure, the last 10, 12 years of different things since I left CFC have all been good. But, you know, one of the things that I have missed, I admit it, I'm learning in my late 40s now that jack of all trades and all these different things is what I think I do best at. It's not a narrow niche of you are the bank manager, you are this, but it's just that collection of things and giving me that variety of things to do that I really enjoy.
And part of something that is fun.
Yes.
And growing, great culture, all that kind of stuff. I mean, we have personalities in our office, as you well know.
Absolutely.
But you're good at dealing with all the different personalities.
We're all good.
Well, you said to me one time, the biggest mistake, this has been sort of your biggest thing you ever made was leaving our office. And I'm like, no. And I think now looking back for the last 10 years or so, like you said, everything you did helped bring you back to where you are today. Mm-hmm. And this is your last stop, which
this
I love.
This is the plan.
That's the plan.
That's exactly right, yeah. I've been very fortunate to build all these relationships over the years and everything. And, you know, especially being in the banking world for the last few years and being in my hometown. And after working with you all for 10, 11 years, I mean, there are customers that I see there. And, like, wait, I know you from so we've already got the established rapport when they walk in and whatnot.
Well, it's not like you're not everywhere anyway. I mean,
right.
You still do these canopy of lights and the parade,
4th of July, and all that stuff. It's actually one of my favorite stories of just working in Bloomington. What my first job out of high school, I worked for Williams Jewelry downtown on the square, and a woman who is a customer of the bank came in a year or so ago, and she's like, "I know you," and this, that, and the other, and couldn't quite piece where it was, and then finally said, "You bought a gold ring with a tanzanite in it. It's kind of funky shaped, like triangular," and she just kind of, the blood drained from her face for a minute. She's like, "How did you know?" I said, "I sold it to you." And then it was like, oh my gosh. And
did you say I had more hair back then?
One fewer chin and a lot more hair on the top, but we're going to work on that again this year as well. So, I am thrilled to death. I'm very grateful that the arms were wide open to welcome me back in, and I am very excited for the next chapter.
Yeah, so are we. I mean, we are growing, as you well know. You know, I still tell people this all the time. I'm very humble. I mean, I really am very, very thankful, very humble. And I think to myself, how in the world will I have almost 30, I'll be 30 years in business next year, and I'm 53 years old. You have 10,000 or 11,500 people a day in America turning 65. The great retirement is happening, and we are just positioned to help people in a big way. And I love when people come in, and they've said this for years, but they'll say, "Man, I wish I would have met you, you know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago." And I'm like, you might have been part of my learning curve back then. I'd much rather be here now than, you know, 25 years ago, because we've all learned, we've all grown, you know, and I think it's just going to be absolutely fantastic. And you know, you got your start in radio with me, right?
Correct. Very much. Yeah, this is the first time I've been up in the GCL studio in probably A little over a year, because I started doing the news after Keith Klein passed away, and was doing that for a couple of years, and had the Bloomington Review for a number of years and whatnot. So it's nice to be back in front of a microphone again. And
it'll be great, and have you, you know, coming on with me occasionally, or we don't really know how this is going to work out. But it was so much fun over the years. We used to call, you know, like the Ed McMahon of the show.
That's
right?
That's exactly right.
The sidekick. Didn't really know a lot about finance or investments, but certainly was a good, solid dude to stand there and take the microphone.
I'm calling in from beautiful West Boggs Lake.
That's right, in Lagodi, Indiana. Where are you? I'm at the shelter house.
David, can you hear me? David? Okay, we're going to take a break because I don't know what to talk about till he calls back in.
Well, yeah, and if people knew where I was doing that show from on those Saturday mornings, those Wee Willie breakfasts and the Saturday morning live shows, they would have cracked up because,
awesome.
I did them from all kinds of goofy places. So now we have the luxury of recording when we need to record and flexibility of time and all that stuff. So it's not quite as bad as it used to be. But Jimmy's going to help me lay in some great guests. I mean, one of my issues is that I'm busy. I mean, I've got a lot of stuff going on. And when I'm the only guy that's in charge of radio or putting a podcast out or maybe writing a third book, I need someone to help me. So I can't, like, follow up and bird dog and, you know, double check and confirm that I have this person coming on at this particular time. But we're connected around this country to a lot of really, really bright people. Mm-hmm. And also, I'd like to get more, I don't know how to say the word politicians, but I like having senators on. I like having congressmen on, especially whenever, you know, there's certain things going on. Like, right. I should have had Todd Young on during the debt ceiling debate. But, you know, I texted him and he said, yeah, get a hold of this person. You know, it's like 3-4 steps before I could have got that worked out. And I was like, eh, heck with it. We'll just wing it. But that will be great because Jim will be able to help contribute. And you'll see it. I mean, you're going to see it. You're going to hear it. Jim's obviously very entrenched in the community like I am. He'll be on boards and he'll be attending BDC events. You'll be at chamber
I'll
events.
Be around.
You're going to be, I may drag you around to some of the conferences because there's, you know, new technology that I see at these conferences that I'm too dumb to know if it would fit in our practice or not. So it's just a lot.
Well, and you know, when we started doing this, and I know we got to take a break in a minute, but it was a whole different time where there was very minimal internet. And so, you know, investors now are a lot more smarter, have a lot more tools at their fingertips and whatnot. So we have to be at the top of our game, and we already are, and we will continue to be that way.
And we have AI that's going to be a big part of our business. It already is in some degree. And, you know, it's like anything else. If you don't embrace it, it's going to take you over, you know, just like technology. Did I like it when everything had to go this way or that way? No, I hated it because I don't even know how to operate my remotes at home on my television set. So, but I also know if I don't embrace it, it's just going to run you over. So there's just so much and so much excitement over the next 10 to 15, 20 years that will be Jimmy will be here and be part of. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's do a little reflection of what was going on in the markets last week in the economy, and then we're going to get old Hot Rod on the phone to talk about what he sees. Now, what I'm going to tell you is going to intrigue you. Rod will tell you that data points are piling up that aren't pointing in a good direction economically. What are these points, and what do they mean for all of us? We'll get Rod on to talk about that and more. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. We've got Hot Rod on the phone. Rod, I actually ran into someone at the Malibu Grill at lunchtime the other day, and I was there, and Doug was there, and a regular listener to the show came by, and he said, hey, he goes, you know, talking to me about what's coming up on the program, and Doug introduced himself, said, oh, I know your name, too, and he says, where's Hot Rod? And I said, he's back at the ranch. Someone's got to hold the fort down. But anyway, Rod, we appreciate you taking the time. I know middle of the day when we do this, we're doing a recording middle of the day, and it's not always the easiest for you. So I gave a little teaser to the listeners to say Rod's going to be coming on. We're going to talk about some of these data points that have been piling up that aren't pointing in a good direction economically. What are these points? What do they mean for all of us? But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the markets. It's a little bit baffling, to be honest. We had 13 days in a row with the Dow. I don't know where we are today as we're recording on Thursday with the Dow. It could be our 14th day in a row. I don't know. But
Currently, we are, but we'll see if it holds on to the close.
Yeah, that you never know. The close is what matters. It's like the score at halftime doesn't matter. It's the end of the game that counts. All right, so, Rod, we obviously had the Fed meet this week. They did what we thought they were going to do. It was so interesting to watch the market while Fed Chairman Powell was speaking because it did nothing like it normally does. Like you said when I was back there, normally something happens. Like it'll either take a big drop and then it will recover later, or it will spike and then it will come back down. But it just sort of smooth sailing through his entire speaking points, which was crazy. This market's just been... I don't know how to even explain it. It doesn't make a lot of sense. We have earnings season right in the middle of that. Forecasts for companies, they're bringing those down, those expectations. But you're seeing data points that aren't pointing in a very good direction. And I liked what you said to me as I was preparing this show. It's numbers we have not seen since type of numbers. And these since numbers are not good economic times.
Yeah, most certainly, and most of them refer back to some trouble that we've seen in the past. And the list is long and seems to be getting longer by the week. So, I mean, some of these things go back to maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago as far as some of the information and the different services that I receive information and data from. But, year-over-year revenue decline of negative 0.4% in Q2 of this year. That's the first decline since Q3 of 2020. We know what was going on in Q3 of 2020, where we're in a shutdown and maybe trying to reopen. Peg ratio extremely elevated, not seen since the dot-com bubble. The decline in the conference board's leading economic indicator down to a negative 9.9. Going all the way back to 1960, we have never seen a level like this without already being in a recession. Philly Fed Manufacturing Index below negative 2.5 has a 100% hit rate in leading to a recession since the 1970s. Mm. Johnson Red Book retail sales, 3 years low, down 0.4% year over year, excluding the COVID plunge, worst annual drop since 2009. Industrial production plummeted year over year, nearing zero. Past contractions to this level were indicators of a recession around the corner. Credit card delinquency rates at 2008 levels, auto loan delinquency rates 2008 levels, all loans, leases, commercial loans, credit cards, auto loans, all included in that, delinquency rates at 2008 levels. Existing home sales, which is typically a leading indicator to S&P 500 earnings, and they lead by about 10 months. They're at one of the lowest levels we've seen. So that potentially is indicating a drop in earnings in the next 2 months. ISM manufacturing PMI at levels previously only seen during the dot-com bubble, the financial crisis of 08, and the 2020 pandemic. Commercial real estate vacancy rates last seen during the commercial real estate glut of the early 90s. Commercial and industrial lending is negative 1% year-to-date. The median at this point in the past is plus 4.5%. And in 2022, at this stage, it was up 9.3%.
All right, Rod. All right, Rod. You're depressing me. And Jim's about ready to die over here. So.
No, and I think the key is, and what I have tried to tell Glass, while there are a whole lot of them stacking up, by no means are we predicting that we're getting ready to go into an 08. That we're getting ready to have a tech bubble or some of these other circumstances in the past. But at the same time, we can't just ignore these data points and continue to move forward and just accept that the positive technical components within the market, which have been extremely strong this year, trump everything out there. So, yep, right now it's a great year, and technically we're setting up fairly well. Earnings have improved this week from the standpoint of future guidance, predominantly tied to the tech sector more than anything else. But even as some of the tech companies have thrown some caution, predominantly more to the AI side of things, of, hey, this isn't an overnight everybody's going to go out and buy AI chips and AI related products tomorrow. This is a ramp up that is going to be huge and go on for multiple years, but don't expect it to hit the revenue this very next quarter off of that. So it does sound depressing, but like I said, we're not trying to paint the picture that we are on the cusp of some of those highly negative things. but don't just wash it away and assume that there is nothing negative within the economy and that everything is all good. We also have to keep in mind, the market is not the economy, and the economy is not the market, although they are linked.
When you think about that, you think, okay, was last year the correction that we had in anticipation of the recession, and now we're looking beyond a potential recession, and the market is so forward-looking that it's going up and up and up. But, you know, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Not the entire market's up. It's just driven by a handful of companies. So the Dow's been playing some catch-up here lately with the industrials, because those have been kind of the big boring guys, not the high-flying tech kind of guys. Rod, I wanted you to hang on with me because I think something that we talk about a lot, risk management, right? How do you manage risk? Because if, in fact, some of these things or all of these things do point in a bad direction and do cause us to go into some kind of a recession, mild or deep, and the market then quickly reacts, what do you do? Well, I think a lot of folks think risk management means that I'm going to make less money or I have the opportunity to make less money, but that's not really true. When you do risk management, you're just doing some smart things or maybe taking advantage of some tools that are available in the financial landscape that folks may not even know exist. So I'm going to have you back to talk about risk management. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. You know, people with lots and lots of money, they actually don't take a lot of risk. You know, why would you? Because if you think about it, take the amount of risk you feel comfortable taking or that you think you need to take to hit a particular goal. Well, if you've got a couple $100 million, you think you're out there slinging around buying the S&P 500? Probably not. You're more than likely buying municipal bonds, treasuries, and then you're using the interest to do things with that might be a little more risky. But it's just all of us schmucks out here that take all the risks. But Rod, there are risk management tools. So if you heard Rod, you're like, oh man, I may want to do something about this. It's really hard in your 401ks because the 401ks have traditional mutual funds. You know, even if you move to a stable value fund or something, I mean, that would obviously reduce some of your risk if you took inflation out of the mix. But Rod, if you have your money out of a retirement account into a professionally managed account, there are some things that a person can do. Because even though the S&P's up, 18, 20% this year, it's still not as high as it was at the end of 2021. We're still looking at numbers we haven't recovered yet. You know, that's the math of recovery, right? If you have $100 and now worth 50, you know, how much did you lose, right? I lost 50%. But if I get back to 100, I need to make 100%. So that's the recovery of math. But Rod, take just a minute and talk about what kind of risk management, what does risk management mean, and why it doesn't always mean you're going to make less money, and the fact that sometimes it's good just not to lose money, because if you don't lose as much money, your path to recovery is much quicker than it is if you just took it on the chin and took all of what the market gives you.
Yeah, so some of the first couple of things are some of the most basic things you can do with risk management, which could be implemented within your 401ks and your retirement accounts. Simplest one, just pure asset allocation. Do you have the right asset allocation mix for your time horizon and your risk tolerance? Now's a great time to evaluate that, because don't wait until you are really concerned about that because the market has plummeted. Evaluate that when the market is up and potentially rebalance and take some profits and reallocate those dollars back to where they do. So that's another component, is the rebalancing. So if you know that you have the right asset allocation and you don't need to tweak that, then maybe it's just a rebalance, because we've had such a strong performance this year. You probably have some gains, and now your equity position is higher than what your original target allocation was, and just bring that back down to those levels potentially. The other thing, and a lot of people struggle with this, and especially in a low interest rate environment, and we're not in a low interest rate environment across the board today, but most certainly selectively, some banks and institutions still aren't paying higher rates on cash as some others are. So you are starting to find opportunities out there. So it's not that they're out there. Cash is a risk management tool. Cash doesn't go up. Cash doesn't go down. Obviously, you can lose some purchasing power due to inflation. But then some of the other things that may not be available inside your qualified retirement plan with your employer, be it an annuity with some guardrails, be it these new buffer products, ETFs, and now unit investment trusts are rolling them out, in which they're giving you some upside. You're capped. Obviously, there's always a trade-off. So they're giving you some upside to what the equity market gives, and they're giving you protection to the downside. Now, these vary, and you can get protection anywhere from I'm protected down 10 to down 15 to maybe down 20. The bigger protections of down 25 or down 30, typically the client participates in the first 5% down, then they're protected the next 20 or 25 down, and then they would participate beyond that. Obviously, you can always hedge your portfolio and use options and go out and buy puts, whether it be a put on an individual security that has highly appreciated, and you don't necessarily want to sell it, but you also don't want to see those gains disappear and go away. Or you can do more broad hedging on the major indices to protect your total portfolio while you have. Now, whether you protect or hedge 100% or 50% or 25%, a lot of different ways that you can do that. One thing we have found in those types of discussions when some of our clients get nervous and want some protection, the interesting thing is they want the protection. They don't want to pay for the cost of protection. You know, how we always play it out, if you're going to go out and you're going to buy hedges using options to protect your portfolio, don't think of it as, well, gosh, if the market doesn't drop, I lose money. You know, if the market goes up, that hedge expires worthless or whatever. We don't buy homeowners insurance because we want our house to burn down. You know, so it's there for protection. You just have to evaluate what's the appropriate cost for that protection based on what I am trying to protect off of that. Can you make some money in protection? Yeah, sometimes the making of money isn't because things went up. It's because they didn't go down as much. So you kept more of what you already had as opposed to following the market all the way down. And then lo and behold, sometimes those hedges turn into profitable trades. You take that hedge off, lock in those gains. Hopefully then the market begins to reverse and go in the opposite direction. And the broad portfolio that you were protecting begins to make more money again. And then that's where it can be very powerful that, oh, gosh, hey, I protected myself. But at the same time, while I was willing or hoping that that hedge expired worthless, I'm okay that I made a profit on it, and then now the market has turned around and my broad portfolio is beginning to participate in the upside again.
Yeah, basically, folks, there are ways to do this. So if you have any questions at all, please reach out to us. We'd be happy to point you in a good direction. Last thing, Rod, and I'll let you go. One of the things that people forget is that the ERISA rules or whatever the rules that dictate retirement accounts with your employer do allow for people to do an age-based in-service distribution after age 59 and a half. Almost every company allows it, which means I'm 60 years old. I'm going to work another 4 or 5 years. I can actually roll my money out of my plan. You're still participating in the plan. You're still contributing. You're still getting your match. In almost every case, every plan is a little bit different. But I can roll that into a professionally managed account and get some of this protection outside of the 401k, and it's available. So it's, if you're sitting there thinking, okay, I'm getting ready to get ready, you might want to consider an age-based in-service distribution. Rod, I'll let you go, brother. I'll see you back at the ranch, and Jimmy will be there on Monday.
Well, that's right. How he felt about it, David.
I love that. Hung up on me. That's all right. We'll let him go for that.
It's all good.
All right, Jimmy, when we come back, who best manages risk? How about insurance companies for the most part? We can do it in the open market with, like Rod was saying, with all the buffer ETFs and UITs and all that kind of stuff. But insurance companies are pretty good at it. I'm going to talk about a very popular product that's out there that you might already own, but you certainly are going to be interested in it. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back. We'll forgive Hot Rod for hanging up on us. We may have been us. We don't know. Jimmy, I have a question for you. So since 1937 through the end of 2022, which is what, 86 years?
Okay.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. How many of those years, now I wouldn't have known this answer either without the data being in front of me, so I'm not trying to set you up.
You're good.
How many of those 86 years were actually negative?
You mean stock market?
Yeah,
negative?
Stock market. The S&P 500.
You're out of the depression. You got a little bit. I'm going to say a third. So let's say 27.
pretty close, 21 years.
Okay.
21 years. So 65 positive, 21 negative. Now, here's the thing. How much were those years down? They actually break it up pretty good on this Franklin Templeton piece I'm looking at. Five of the years were 0 to 6%. 10 of those years were between 6 and 12%. Only 1 year were we down, like, let's see, more than 12, but less than 18. Only three times were we down over 24%. That was 08, 1974, and 1937. What's interesting, when Rod was giving us that data, those data points, some of these years popped up in there pretty frequently. But the 65 positive years, you had an average return of 19.7%. On the average, on negative returns, is negative 12.5. So that kind of leads me into this discussion of something called a registered indexed linked annuity, or a RILA, has become very, very popular, very popular. Many people listening might own one, or you should certainly consider one, because I want to talk to you about how it works. There's a lot of different variations out there. I'll give you one variation. One would say, okay, if the market is down 10% this year, I lose nothing, down 15, down 25, just like what Rod said. My cap, if I'm willing to take the first 10% away, knowing that majority of the years that were down in the past, 15 of the 21, were down 12% or less, so it pretty much would wipe out most of those losses in those years, but I'll give you 18% on the upside, that's a pretty good trade-off. What if I want 15% protection, about a 13.5% index credit, 25% protection, maybe I can get 9 or 10%. That's on a one-year basis. They also have things that say, okay, what if the market's just flat or up at all? Well, we'll give you an interest credit of 10 or 12% if it's just flat or up with some downside protection, maybe 10. Listen, there's a ton of these out here. When I first started using these about 5 or 6 years ago, there were like three companies. Now I think every insurance company on the face of the earth that has an annuity product has one. The other thing, most of them have no fees. There is another product that I've used a few times where it has 100% downside protection from day one, and if the market's flat or up at all, you get like an 8% credit. So there are some really cool things, and there's no fee associated with them. Now, that sounds almost too good to be true, right? Well, listen, every time you say that, everyone's like, yeah, it's too good to be true, so it must be. Well, here are some of the things you're giving up. You're going to give up the dividends. There is no dividend on this S&P 500 thing. Now, the dividend isn't even a big deal for the most part, but what is it, 1.5% or 2% right now? So that's what you're giving up. So technically, you could say, well, that's been my fee because I'm giving that up for this protection. And as Rod said, every time you get some protection, you're going to give something up. You probably are going to give up a little liquidity. Most of these are products that are 5 or 6 year products. And if you take more than 10% out in a year, then you're going to have a penalty of some kind, maybe a 6%, 5%. Usually it's declining. So you give up some of that. But that's about it. You know, when you think about it from that perspective, it's super, super easy and simple to understand. Your statements are really easy to understand. You get them quarterly. It's really a pretty good product. And like I'm telling you, when the competition started coming into this place, this marketplace of RILAs or registered index linked annuities, I mean, the products have gotten smoking good. So if you're out there and you're thinking, yeah, man, I'm 59.5, I want to roll money out of my plan, I want to keep in the game with the S&P 500, but I want some downside protection as I'm on my pathway, my final runway to get into retirement, things like this should probably be considered. Now, of course, you hear the disclosures on the show. This is not, I'm not recommending that you buy or sell any security. It's for informational purposes and educational purposes only. So I threw that in for my compliance people because they actually do listen to every show. And whenever I say something I'm not supposed to say, they send me a nasty email. So, Maggie, hopefully you enjoyed that disclosure. And Jimmy, we're going to take a break. But if you are interested in learning more about that, talk to a financial professional because these products are not bought usually on a retail side. They're actually offered through the professional side. All right, I'll be right back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Oh, I got to thank my guy here, Tim, Unrivaled Electric. He wants to be your electrician like he is mine, specializes in generators, like he's going to put in at the porthole at Lake Lemon. No big plug there, of course. Kenny Blaine Auctions, they want to be your full service auction service. They offer the pre-planning the sale of your estate or real estate. Visit my good friend Dirk and Nikki Bland at KennyBlandAuctions.com. And I saw Lance, or heard Lance, had a freshened up commercial. It was a good one. So if you want to give yourself and your family that peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning, and everyone needs, and everyone has an estate, give Lance and his team a call at 812-323-8300. Jim, have you been to the porthole since my ownership interest?
I have not, and I hate to say that, and if that jeopardizes my job experience, then I will get out there before Sunday. Yeah, no, I've had a couple offers, but it's just not worked out. So
yeah, that's all right.
I was actually supposed to go this week with some former coworkers now, but anyway, yes.
Yeah.
So
great.
I've heard all good things.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, it's not all good things, but it's good. People that are the guy that runs the Village Deli, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone knows him, but Bob. I saw Bob at the Iron Pit Gym, and he had been out there a few times, and he was complimenting. I said, you know, I have nothing to do with it, honestly. I mean, if I go out there, I pay full price, mm-hmm. I tip my server, you know, I'm a little morale booster for people, see people I know, talk to. It's fun. I enjoy it. But, uh-huh. Yeah, I have nothing to do with it. But I'm like, the thing that drives us crazy, because it's me who you know, runs a company, Steve Dawson, who owns HFI, Steve Birch, who owns Flat Steve, that owns Furniture Exchange and Distinctive Home Furnishings, and then my other friend, John Albertson, he's a retired Allstate agent. We don't like just good. We want things to be great.
Mm-hmm.
But Bob's like, dude, don't let good get in front of, or don't let great get in front of good. He said, just be good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's really good advice. Well, then when you're in there and you see stuff going on or something's not just perfect, then you just don't get as irritated about it. So that's the restaurant business. But in my business, you want to be good to great, as that book said it once. All right, so Jimmy, you'll be coming on Monday. You
yes.
and I will be at Ivy Tech on August 10th. I'm teaching the Taxes and Retirement Workshop that just started being advertised on Facebook last night.
Okay.
You're not 50 years old. So
it's
I think
it's coming close.
I have
though,
a
man.
Feeling they're targeting people 50 or older.
Okay.
Because Doug came in and said, hey, I saw this. My name's not even on it, which is crazy. The people that are promoting it for the class
mm-hmm.
are from out of town, and they do a good job, and it's legit, dude. So if you see it on there, it's me. I'll be there teaching it.
Is this a one night only? Is this a 2-week? Okay.
One night out. Yeah. So it's basically built around my book, 2025, mm-hmm. The Final Drive. What you need to know to win. So I talk about the history of taxation. I talk about where we are economically as a country. I talk about where taxes are likely to go in the future. And then I basically talk about tools that we can use to get out of the crosshairs of higher taxes. I get into Social Security a little bit. And talk about income planning and retirement. And I do this little thing. So if you come to class, you're going to be like, oh, I've heard this one before. But I go through the scenario of doing a one-time Roth conversion, right? I say, I'm 53, and I do a $200,000 Roth conversion. I pay, let's call it $40,000 in tax, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I pay more than that. I pay like $80,000 in tax. So you pay $80,000 tax, and I have it tax-free now. And it grows over 10 years, and it doubles. It goes to $200,000 to $400,000. That's a 7.2% interest rate. And then, like a lot of Hayes's, burn out early, die at 63.
Don't say that.
You never know.
Anyway,
I'm not afraid of it. I am a little bit. So, just a little bit. That's why I do my fireworks remotely now, not lighting them by hand. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
So I die. Misty takes over. Misty has great longevity in her family. Her grandma lived like 100, I think. So she's now 63, and 73, 83, 93. So it goes from 800,000, or I'm sorry, 400,000, 800,000, 1.2 to 3.2. Or 1.2 to 3.4.
Yep.
That's why you're here, Jim, to help me with my
it's
math.
Okay.
And then she dies. And then Will gets it. Will's like 63 at the time. So then Will gets it, and he's not required to take anything out for 10 years when a Roth. So he could literally let it grow to over $6 million completely tax-free, and I only pay $80,000 in taxes for that big monster amount of cash tax-free.
Wow.
And I said, I always tell people, so if you want your kids to visit your graveside, do a Roth conversion. And leave it to them. Live a long time, double, leave it to them, and then they'll come and pet your headstone and say, thank mm-hmm. you, Daddy, for doing that Roth conversion 40 years ago. Anyway, I actually just did a podcast on, is the IRS spying on your IRA or just licking your chops or both? I did that yesterday. That'll be hitting the highway, I think, next week or 2 weeks from now. But Jim's going to keep me accountable, folks. Get me back on the 2025 Final Drive podcast every 2 weeks. I've got a great guest coming in next week. It's going to do two of them with me and get that momentum going again. Because we were having massive momentum, over 1,000 unique downloads each week for a while. Mm-hmm. And then I just went dead on the podcast. And a lot of it, you know, went through my mom. That was tough. And
podcasts have seasons like television shows, too. There's nothing wrong with taking a break and, getting revitalized.
That's the kind of encouragement that I need. That's exactly what I need.
They are.
But we'll have taxes and retirement coming up, so look for those ads on Facebook. But it is me. Jim will be there as well. Doug will be doing an event, I think, sometime in the fall. It will be Today's Guide to Retirement Planning. It's traditionally one of the most popular classes at Ivy Tech. And, so we're going to be super, super busy and grateful to have Jimmy back. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and wrap it up at Your Money with David Hayes. Well, the big reveal happened today on the air, live. Jim Emmon Jr. is back in the seat at Comprehensive Financial after about a 12-year hiatus, I would say.
11, 12, something like that,
So from CODA to Heart Association to Chamber to German-American Bank and back around to Comprehensive Financial. So everyone should be super excited that he's back in the saddle. And you know what? Just like everything else, it's not always roses, right? And sometimes things aren't great, but that's just the way life is. So Jimmy, welcome back, brother.
I appreciate it. Please do not flood my voicemail over the weekend just yet, because I don't have voicemail just yet. Give me a week or two before you can email me and that other stuff.
Yeah, he's getting fingerprinted today. So, he is a shaky, sketchy individual. So we'll see if that fingerprint goes through okay. I'm pretty confident it will.
I would hope so. If something pops up, I actually did a loan for somebody earlier this year, and something did pop up on theirs, but they had a very, very common last name, and it was somebody else in the world, but they're like, we didn't do this. Like, just give me a minute. We'll get it resolved, which we did. So
perfect.
Yeah, it all shakes out.
That's what you are, Jimmy, a problem solver. So, super excited, guys, and I know I've been holding back and really excited. I've known about it for about a month, maybe.
Yeah,
but
had to do some things on my end, and I appreciate you giving me a little bit of breathing room to make the formal announcement.
Yeah, and it's good that you you always want to leave the place you worked in better shape than you found it.
Correct.
And I think that everyone over there would say to me, you're lucky to have Jim, and that this place is better off because he was here. So
I appreciate that.
We will leave it at that. I hope everyone has a great weekend. Of course, Thursday nights, the live running of the show, Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., always on WGCLRadio.com. And, of course, after it goes online on Thursday evening, you can catch it at your favorite podcast place. All right, guys, have a great weekend, everyone. I'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.